with a few announcements first, and then after I make announcements, I'm going to ask you to do as the bulletin says, and that is to breathe. Just take some time to simply breathe and to let that renewing and that healing presence of the Spirit rest upon you. But to begin with, there are a few things that I want to point out. This service is a bit different than we've done in the sanctuary before. We've done something like this in the fellowship hall. So let's just get a few instructions. And my first instruction says, there is no wrong way to do this. Okay? Absolutely no wrong way to do this. But what we have in your bulletin are four different reflections. And at the front, we have a reflection that goes with the Jeremiah passage that has clay. We have one that goes with the oil. At the back of the narthex, we have the one that goes with the Psalm 51 and the ashes. Upstairs, we have the Lamentations passage that goes with water. You can choose to do any of them. You can choose to do all of them. You can choose to do none of them. It is perfectly fine. What I would ask, if you do not want to get up and move around, is simply to take that reflection that's in the bulletin and use it, read it, meditate on it. If you want to pull out the Bible and read and meditate on that, that's fine. Then, if you, for instance, if you want to do the Jeremiah passage and you come up to use the clay, but you don't want to just stand around the table, then take it back to the pew with you. Or if you're doing oil or if you're doing clay and you want to sit on the step, or if you want to sit in the front pew, if you want to sit up here. In other words, these 15 minutes are yours. Put yourself in a place where you can feel totally relaxed and totally reflective as much as you can. 15 minutes is not a lot of reflective time, I realize that, but it's probably more than most of us get on a regular basis anyway, so we'll make the most of it. And again, the one that is in the choir loft, that is not just for the choir. You may go up there, choir may come down. So again, use that as you want to and as you will. This is your time. It's your time with God, your time to commune, and your time to feel God's presence. You may want to take your bulletin with you when you go, so that you will have that if you choose to remain around around one of the stations. There are towels at each one of the stations for you to be able to wipe your hands and take some of that off if you wish. When you come to for the imposition of the ashes, you have in your bulletin just a slip of paper that has an alleluia. And obviously, as we began our opening sentences, this will make more sense. Because what I am inviting you to do is that when you come for the imposition of the ashes, to bring this with you, if you choose, and to tear it apart, to place it into the baptismal font, because for this season of Lent, we truly, out of respect for the passion of Christ, put away our alleluias for a season. So if you choose to do that, that is fine also. Come back to here. I believe that is all of the announcements. And so as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our bodies to simply be in the presence of God, I invite you to settle in and listen to this beautiful music as it washes over us. Alleluia is that song of praise that has traditionally been used by Christians as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and his triumph over sin and death. The church customarily refrains from using this form of praise during the 40 days of Lent, and we are invited during these days to search our hearts, to recognize and to acknowledge the power that sin has over us, that it has within our lives, and certainly the power that it has in our world. Christ has died.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Christ will come again. Moments come when we must say goodbye for a time, and we do so this night with our alleluias. It can help us focus on what needs to be done. We will know the alleluia is there waiting for us. We will sing it with a new understanding on Easter morning. And together we say, goodbye, alleluia. We will see you again. As Christians, we live in a time of the now and the not yet. We know that Christ is not really gone. And yet at the same time, we look forward to celebrating with him again in resurrection. And so putting away our most vibrant word of praise gives us a chance to slow down, chance to take the time that we need to grow spiritually and to have a new appreciation for what it means to praise with this word on Easter Day. And so, goodbye, alleluia. And yes, we will see you again. Will you pray with me? Holy, holy, holy God, We place ourselves in your presence and we rest in the promise of your grace. Our minds and our spirits are cluttered with so many thoughts and feelings that threaten to pull your attention away from, pull our attention away from you. And so we ask that you let us unclench our fist and release these things. Lord, in this moment, we release all that we have done today, whether that be for good or for ill. We release all that we feel like that we should have done today, but we didn't. We release all that we need to do tomorrow. And all of the thoughts, the feelings that pull us away from you in this moment, O God, we release. So fill us now with the joy and the peace of your deep and abiding presence. We come offering ourselves to you, our one God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. I invite you to stand. I think the majority of us know this, but it never hurts for any of us to hear it again, because sometimes we even hear the things that we think we know with new ears. So we are reminded that season is that Lent is that time of preparation where we celebrate the deliverance from sin and from death, and we do that because of the resurrection and the life of our Lord Jesus. It means that we have our life renewed in a way that no earthly Lord can do for us, and we call that the mystery of faith. We begin our Lenten season first by acknowledging, that we all are human and that every single one of us is in need of repentance. Because when we name those things that damage us, those things that damage others, what it does is open us more fully, more vulnerably to the work of the Spirit within us, to the one who loves us and who knows us better than we know ourselves, who loves us without any boundaries whatsoever, and whose mercy is time and time again demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. It is during this time that we take an honest look at our lives and we repent of those things that are human within us. We do that by prayer. We do it with a full heart, though. We do that by letting go of those things that harm us or those things that try to take us away from working love for others. We repent and we draw closer to God when we read Scripture, when we study God's Word, when we observe this time of preparation, focusing on the suffering of Jesus Christ. It's easy when Easter comes around. It's not so easy in these moments, but we are called to faithfully live through that season of suffering with Jesus. But even though we do that as people of Easter, we never, ever lose hope. And as our opening sentences said, we will say our alleluias again. But for now, we are invited into that time of remembering and remembering symbolically as we come and as we are marked with the ashes of the cross.
Lord of life, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we hear these words, they may become living word for us, to the glory of our living Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. Let us worship God with justice, even as we sing and pray. Let us keep the fast God chooses on this day and every day. Lift your voice for liberation. Speak the truth and never fear, for the God of our salvation, even now, is drawing near. Share your table with the hungry. Share your plenty with the poor. When you see the tired and homeless, offer them an open door. Comfort those who are afflicted. Work to set the captives free. Live with kindness, never hiding from your human family. Then your light will shine like morning and your Savior will appear. You will call and God will answer. Faithful servant, I am here. Then the Holy One will guide you. You will be like living streams. God will lift the fallen cities and restore the people's dreams. Lift your voice for liberations. Speak the truth and never fear. For the God of our salvation even now is drawing near. Keep the fast of faith in action on this day and every day. Worship God with peace and justice, even as we sing and pray.
The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 through chapter 6, verse 10. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain.
For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation.
We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way.
Through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger.
By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left.
In honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute.
We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything.
The New Testament reading is from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Thank you.
Ash Wednesday is about leaving the baggage behind and about braving the unknown. It is about carrying nothing but the mark of God's beloved on us. In this vulnerable place, we confess that we want to be surrounded by all of those things that make us feel better about ourselves, including the things that we think we need to do in order for God to love us. And yet God whispers to us that we're made in God's divine image and that faithfulness is enough. It is enough. Scripture says, "Come now and let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be made white as snow." You are invited for these next 15 minutes to spend time in reflection and prayer. Like I said, moving about as you wish and as you will. And I will call us back with a time of the assurance of God's forgiveness after that. So together, let us confess in many ways. Scripture says that God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Where sin abounds, we know that grace abounds even more. So in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who declares that our sins are forgiven, let's, with grateful hearts, remember these words from the psalmist: "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be." Thanks be to God and Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Our ancestors in the faith used ashes as a sign of repentance. It was a symbol of sort of the uncertainty and the frailty of life. Like them, you and I have tasted that sense of hopelessness. We have walked through the ashes of our own loss and our own pains in so many ways. We have stood knee-deep sometimes in the ashes of brokenness. We understand where our ancestors are coming from. But just as we are broken people, so too can our Lord make us whole again. Tonight, with these ashes, we will be reminded that we are human, that we are frail, that we are broken. But because of the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Let us bless these ashes with prayer. The palm leaves that were left behind, Lord, were green on Palm Sunday, and now they have turned into gray ashes that remind us that even we do not remain the same. That only you, God, are unchangeable. You are steadfast. You are sure. You are forever. And so bless now these ashes, Lord, as a sign of conversion and penance. And may the sign of the cross given in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit encourage us and heal us and then send us out to serve you and neighbor in the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen. Following the choir, you will be invited to come for the imposition of the ashes with one last reminder: the Alleluias will be back. Each of us has come here tonight, I believe, with great joy in our hearts. I also believe with a lot of struggles. It's just what humans do. And so I pray that as you have received this symbol of the cross on your forehead, as you have had time to listen for a little while to the Spirit, as you've been able to settle your bodies in ways that we don't get to do very often, that you will be reminded that ashes to ashes is the stuff of our life. We rise and we fall, and yet in all of our risings and in all of our fallings, the thing that remains true is God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And so I now pray that we will all go from this place with peace and with hope, and that we will gather God's true purpose within us and about us, and that we remember, even as we walk through these suffering days with our Lord, the Alleluia will come back. Amen. You are invited to leave as you feel led.